السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. الحمد لله, it's a pleasure to see the masjid filled with such light, such radiant faces. Feels like it's Ramadan, a Jummah in Ramadan, mashallah. And alhamdulillah, we're here because of the topic. We're talking about the life of the greatest man that ever lived, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a good sign that his remembrance brings people out to the masjid. And it's a great honor. We have one of our instructors and our shuyukh that's beloved to this community, Sheikh Yasir Birjas. Doesn't need much of an introduction. We all know him and we love him. And this is testimony to that fact. He's teaching a class this weekend, tomorrow night, Saturday and Sunday. And we're here to hear some words about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Sheikh Yasir Birjas.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم أما بعد, before I begin talking about the أخلاق of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I just want to make another comment. As usual when I come to this community, mashallah, I'm really surprised with the beautiful recitation of the Imam over here. Amazing, amazing recitation, speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the words of the divine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. If you've noticed what the recitation was about, it was about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was mentioned in the book of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies for the akhlaq of Muhammad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Indeed, ya Muhammad, innaka ala khuluqin azim, you are at a great standard of character. The kind of character the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed in his life became the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him for. And if Allah azza wa jal testified for someone, there is no doubt that's now beyond any testimony. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he was described in the Quran. Jazakallah khairah, Shaykh, for this beautiful recitation. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, one day she was asked about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People, they come to Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they ask her, how was khuluqun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How was his kind of course of conduct? How did he deal with the people? You know, we always focus on the answer. Every time we hear that story, just like now I'm talking to you, most of you already know the story, you know the hadith, and you always know the conclusion. She said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an," his manners, his akhlaq were the Qur'an itself. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, in the interpretation of this hadith, he said that akhlaqu al-Qur'an, that means bil-amri wal-nahi, which means whatever command that was there in the Qur'an, he was the first person to follow. Any prohibition that was mentioned in the Quran, he was the first person to abstain from. We all know that, and perhaps we understand the interpretation of the ayat. What is so surprising is not really the answer as much even as the inquisition of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us even thought about why even they ask the question? Why would people go to Aisha and said, how was akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I mean, don't they see him outside? Don't they see him in the masjid when he comes outside? Don't they see him when he walks in the street, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Haven't they narrated to us all these stories about him being in the battlefield, about him being in the masjid making salah and ibadah? Why then would they go to ask Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha about his akhlaq? For a very secret thing. People usually, they have two faces. One it's public and one it's private. I dare any husband here in this masjid to be happy if I go and ask his wife, how's your husband at home? Each one of you gets a little bit nervous. Why? Because we all know why. We're not the same people outside. And we're not the same person when we go home. At home, we're more relaxed. Kind of, you know, just get a little bit laid back. And we start getting now relaxed on some of the rulings. Why? Because I'm at home. I'm just chilling. I'm enjoying my time. I'm not going to stress myself out. But when you go out in public, you deal with the public face. So when the people went to Aisha and they asked her, how was akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They were not asking about him in public because they have seen that. They were asking her, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, at home? Is he the same as when he's outside? It's very hard to see someone inside the house equally the way they are outside the house. It's extremely hard to do that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the man. He was the one that displayed this face, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, inside his house and outside his house. He was the same person. He didn't have double faces. He didn't have that personality conflict many people would have. His akhlaq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the Quran itself. He was the interpretation of the Quran in real life, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So when you talk about interpretation of the Quran, there are two kinds of interpretation. You have an actual interpretation, which is in the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have the regular interpretation, which is what you read in the tafsir, what you read in translation of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam akhlaq and manners were the actual interpretation of the Quran in real life. Which means, if you want to know what the Quran really says, you need to check his akhlaq and his life, salawatullahi wasallamu alaihi. So his akhlaq sallallahu alaihi wasallam were praised in the Quran. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are indeed at a very high, a great standard of character. صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلوا على رسول الله. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أم المؤمنين صفية بنت حيي رضي الله تعالى عنها. She was the daughter of one of the leaders of the Jewish tribe, حيي بن أخطب. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, now she was the daughter of one of the great leaders of her own people. She's marrying now the great leader of the ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What would she expect from that? In that culture, maybe when you now become victorious over a nation and you take their daughters, their spouse, their children and so on, you might think that you're going to be enslaved. But this woman, she saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marrying her, freeing her and marrying her, which means elevating her status. And now the way he treated her, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was so surprised that she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحْسَنَ خُلُقًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I've never seen anyone more behaved in terms of akhlaq and character than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the ways he treated her that maybe impressed her so much, that when she wanted to mount, go on the camel, to ride on the camel, he went down, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, he kneeled all the way down, placing one knee up for her, and then allowing her to use this as a step. So she stepped on his knee, so she could go on the camel. And while she was doing that, he was covering her with his thobe, so that when she raised one foot, the other would not be revealed. And you could see that, and remember, imagine that, subhanAllah, beautiful akhlaq. It's just like a modern techniques people today use when you open the door for your wife. And you hold the door for her. And just be courteous, be gentle, and being kind and nice. She saw that. And living with him, she knew how well behaved his akhlaq, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, so high. مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحْسَنَ خُلُقًا. Never, I've seen anyone like this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When people usually think of akhlaq and manners, specifically in our time, why do we focus so much on the subject of akhlaq? People, they come to me, just even yesterday, someone came to me and was talking to me about the subject of akhlaq. How can I make sure that my kids will grow up with good character? It has become a very, very important subject and so dangerous subject these days. Why? Because the point of reference of akhlaq is changing. Completely changing. The culture of individualism that we live in the West over here makes people develop their own character based on their own preferences. So there is no set of rules how to behave. Yes, society gives specific guidelines, but these might be loose and people even can do whatever they want to just develop their own character. So the subject of point of reference for the akhlaq has become so loose. And that's why parents, they come out and say, my God, my kids go to school and they learn these things. They go to go home even, and they spend some time over the internet and they learn some new akhlaq. You know, even today people are complaining about kids when they go to halaqat tahfidh al-Qur'an even. I cannot even have my kids being safe here or there, everywhere, subhanAllah. What is the problem? The problem is that we lost the compass, that moral compass. What kind of akhlaq are we looking for? Ask the people, what kind of akhlaq are we looking for? It seems that we have a problem in almost every aspect of the akhlaq. When you talk to some people, they complain that Muslims, they lost a sense of justice. You know, even though they're wrong, but they're not fair. They don't want to give me my haq or my right. Women complaining about their husbands being so harsh means there's no mercy. There's no kindness. Kids are complaining, their parents are yelling and doing this and that and so on. So there is no that tenderness in the house. When it comes to courage, asking Muslims to go and step for their own rights. They complain, they say, we can't do that. We have to keep things quiet. So we lost courage, we lost generosity, we lost so many things. So almost, it's almost gone. And not so many people are doing much really to bring these back to the community. And if we would like to have a set of rules, akhlaq, manners, example, role model, you can't find it anywhere except in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this lecture, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, I'm going to talk to you about some of the akhlaq, the general akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Of course, I can never give the true haq for the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a few minutes. I can't do that. Wallahi, we can't even do it in one seminar. You need seminars after seminars just to speak about one khuluq at a time, one example of the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a time. This for us, just to bring at least to our own perception, understanding the concept of human perfection. Of course, as human beings, we understand and we know we cannot be perfect, such as, you know, the angels. We can't be like that. And the Prophet himself, he said that. You can't be like angels, never. But we can reach that human perfection. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the hadith, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ. Many men reach perfection, human perfection. وَمِنَ النِّسَاءِ, as for women, he mentioned few, by name, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That means there is something called human perfection. We know that human perfection exists in the way human behave. So if you make a mistake, how do you become perfect? You go and you correct that. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have done anything that is unjust, you make justice. If you have just done something you feel it was not actually right, you go and you correct that. That's how you become a perfect person in that sense. So let's see some of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the way, the subject of akhlaq is very, very important. Maybe for some today, specifically the young generation guys, you might not think that's very, very important to you, specifically if you're still in school. But it becomes extremely dangerous for you when you become serious about getting married. When you start thinking about getting married, that's when you start going to Sheikh Abdul Rauf and others says, please, can you give me tazkiyah? Can you tell the people that I'm good? I come to the masjid, inshallah, you know. You would like now people to testify that you have good character. Why? That's what most people look for. Maybe after, you know, being a doctor or an engineer or whatever. And then they say, how is the akhlaq? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even he mentioned, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوُّجُهُ. If someone comes to you and you're satisfied with their deen and akhlaq, then accept them in marriage. Give them your daughters in marriage. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention these two things? دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. Our ulama, they actually translate this hadith or they interpret this hadith by saying, this is your akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, and your akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation people. So when I say dinahu, how is your relationship with the creator? And when he says wa khuluqahu, his manners, character, how is your relationship with the creation of Allah azza wa jal? And when we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on both ends, his relationship with the creator and his relationship with the creation, you will see that great standard of character sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's begin with his akhlaq, with his family, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have, of course, you guys all know that class, the love notes, and we have a whole chapter on the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his wives. Just to refresh your minds and your memories, and bring some of the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his wives. First of all, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something. It is just like a banner. It is something like a slogan that should be actually the slogan of every husband in his life with his wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best among you are those who are best to their families. Particularly, he's speaking about wives, to your wife. And he said, وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي, and I am the best to my family. What does that mean? He says, the best amongst you, not the best in terms of charity, this or that. He says, the best to their families. And I am the best to my family. He's telling us, if you want to follow the example of the best example with your family, follow mine. Look at me. How do I treat my wives? How do I behave at home? That's what you need to learn from me. And when Aisha, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, look at him at home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's exactly the same thing. He follows the example of the Qur'an in every halal and every haram aspect. The Prophet says, would be the first person to do the halal and abstain from the haram, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be so nice and gentle when he talks to his wife. Even Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha calls her by these beautiful nicknames. You know, when you have your wife and she has a very long name, you don't have to mention the entire name. You can just give her a nickname. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call her Aish. It's just like saying Ayush these days. So when you call her by these nicknames, it's a beautiful thing. And this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking to his wife. This is in the Arabic language called Tarkhim. When you shorten the sound for the sake of making it beautiful, we're just making it as a nickname over here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to eat, he used to help even around with the food. Sometimes he would with his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she said, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يحلب العنز. He used to milk the goat for the family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and bring it to them. And when he eats with his wife, he wouldn't be the first person to eat even. Like today, most of the husbands sitting at the table waiting for the food to come. And once his plate is in front of him, he starts digging in. Before even his wife sits on the other end of the table, subhanAllah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he waits for Aisha to begin. And after she eats something or she drinks something, he says, hand me this over, give me this. And he grabbed that cup, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he drinks from the same spot where she had her lips, radiallahu ta'ala anha, showing a kind touch or gesture for his wife, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to even help himself in the house, knowing that his wife, you know, just like anybody else, she might get tired, she might not have actually maybe the time for it. So he wouldn't really bother to go and call, say, why don't you fix this for me, why don't you do this for me. If he had the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would sit down fixing his own shoes. كَانَ يَخْصِفُ نَعْلَهُ بِيَدِهِ. He would fix his own sandals, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own hand. I want you just to visualize that. Here is the great man Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great messenger of Allah. Thousands and hundreds, if not even actually thousands of people at that time were hearing of him, whether they like him or not, but they knew who was he as a great man, salawatullahi wa salam alayhi, sitting there in his house, grabbing his own sandals, fixing it with his own hand. You might say, subhanAllah, he had time to do that? Absolutely. He had time to do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was this handyman around the house, and he was also that man who would help his family and show his love and his kindness to his family, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was fair and just. And he would specifically to show his justice, particularly in the house. You know, I know outside the house, people, they might tend to be more, you know, accepting to this. But fairness with their spouse becomes an issue of dispute between a husband and wife. But here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he follows that rule of fairness. One of these actual examples, which might be, has a funny story that comes with it. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she received Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a guest. He said, do you have any food? I want to just give to the guest. She said, I don't have anything ready, but I can fix something. So while she was fixing the food, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent to the other houses. He says, if you had any food, bring it to the house of Aisha. Now, how could another woman bring food to the house of Aisha? It's my house. How could you feed somebody, you know, from someone else's food? So she got very jealous. When Salama, she brought some food, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she broke actually that dish. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could get upset if he wanted. Today, if this happens in someone's house, that would be the end of the marriage. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't feel, you know, that she did anything wrong in that sense. He just felt that she was extremely jealous. He smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started collecting the food. And then he told the people there, he says, غارت أمكم. What shall I do? She became so jealous. And then he gave another actually plate to Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Perhaps Salama, when she was looking at the plate, she was surprised. That wasn't the one I sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, maybe later on she knew what happened. But at the time Rasulullah sallallahu, he showed that fairness and justice. But you know, just even a matter of plate, give it back to Salama radiallahu anha. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to talk, he used to talk nice and nicely. When he speaks slowly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسرد سردكم هذا. He doesn't speak like you. You know, continuous talking. Look at me, I'm talking continuous right now. Maybe time has changed. But when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in that best timing, he would speak slowly. And speak to the people to understand from him. كان يتكلم صلى الله عليه وسلم بكلام فصل ليفهم عنه. Means a very decisive, clear message so people can understand. From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even many of the ulama, like Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and Ibn Abbas, they said at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people, they spoke less and did much. And that's why there was so much barakah in their time and their efforts. And at the time of the Sahaba, after the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means now when the new generation starts coming, and many of the Sahaba now disappearing, so they start talking too much and doing less. Imagine after 1400 years what happened to our time. Subhanallah, now actually we don't talk and we don't do anything. So no talking, nothing, just you keep quiet and you just let everything happen, it's not my business. At the same time, there is no much actually done. Unless we go back to the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the kids, since I'm seeing kids right now actually here, so that you guys don't get upset with that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had the beautiful example with the children. His and the communities. His children, for example. When he used to do the khutbah on the minbar. I know for some people, this minbar is something sacred. So when the imam is on the minbar, they get very annoyed if something wrong happens in the khutbah. But here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving the khutbah. And he sees al-Hasan coming in. A child plowing through the crowd. When a child coming through the crowd starts, you know, tripping and falling, the Prophet ﷺ could not stand seeing his child, his young actually child, doing that or basically falling in between the crowd. So he stopped the khutbah. He stopped khutbah till Jumu'ah, stepped down, went and he picked up Al-Hasan, came all the way back to the member, and then he put him on the side and started continuing with the khutbah. Now knowing that the people were looking at him as he was doing that, he says, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدِ. You know this child of mine? He's a master. He's a leader. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُصْلَحَ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِئَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Perhaps one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use him to reconcile between two conflicting parties. And it did happen. Many years later, he was the reason for the Muslim Ummah to get back together in one jama'ah when the conflict of the Iraq and al-Sham ended by him conceding to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. So the Prophet, he stopped the entire khutbah, which is so important, to pick up his grandchild sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umama, the daughter of his daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was a young girl as well. When he prayed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many reports. He would hold her in his salah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Young girl. What could be a young girl doing, you know, with her grandpa as he's praying and he's holding her? Now, of course, the hadith doesn't show any details, but I'm assuming like any father, if you had a child and you've ever held your child in salah, your child perhaps will be playing with your beard, messing up your turban and your taqiyah, or maybe wants to get down and then come back again. And I believe that Umama would do the same thing. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he goes to the ruku', he puts her down. When he comes back from the sujood, he picks her up, radiallahu ta'ala anha, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to walk in the streets of Medina and he would see many of the young kids of the community. And he would give salam to them. Kids are playing in the parking lot over here. Why don't you, as an adult, show them an example of respect, saying, Salaam alaikum, kids. Instead of just passing by, just as if you see nothing there. Completely, we're disconnected from each other. The older generation, from the younger generation. And don't worry, nothing's going to happen, inshallah ta'ala. No one is going to comment anything wrong. Just say salam alaikum to the kids, to the children. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that, and it was reported even that sometimes he would be playful with them in the streets of Medina. In the alleys of Medina, when the kids see adults, what do they usually do? They run away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they start running away, he sometimes play with them by trapping them here and there. He will trap them so that they would just say, oh, Rasulullah is playing with them. What a beautiful spirit, subhanAllah. Kindness. Look at how the Prophet ﷺ is now leaving these beautiful memories for these young ones so that when they grow older, they remember Rasulullah ﷺ. Like Mahmud ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I still remember when I was a boy, a toddler, I still remember majjatan majjahan nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi wajhi. The Prophet ﷺ, he splashed water in his face. He said he was playful with him and he splashed water in his face. You know how kids love water. So he did that, and he became an adult, and he would remember from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that incident. What an amazing thing, subhanAllah, to remember from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a moment of kindness and mercy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very forgiving, extremely forgiving. And this is one of the subjects that actually becomes very hard for people to accept. You know, people, they don't like people to take advantage of them, right? Anyone would love to be taken advantage of? No one would love to that people take advantage of their kindness, right? So if someone being kind to somebody, and in return, these people, they act in a harsh or rude manner towards them, subhanAllah, people, they lose their minds over this. So after what I've done to them, that's how they reward me? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very forgiving, so tolerant, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. مَا غَضِبَ قَطْ لِشَيْءٍ لِنَفْسِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He had never got upset for something that was for himself. Never. But unless something about the deen that was violated, that's when he gets upset, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gets angry. When he came to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he needed to pay some debts for somebody. So he borrowed some dates from a Jewish man in Medina. And that Jewish man actually, after some time, he came after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking for a payback. Now he wants to take advantage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a newcomer and him very well established, you know, in his Jewish tribe and so on. He came and he arrogantly grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his collar. And he grabbed him harshly and he says, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, pay me back. Innakum ya Bani Hashim qawmun mutl. Means you, Bani Hashim, you always delay your payments. Means you are known to be basically people who always delay payments. So Umar bin Khattab was there. And you know when Umar is there, what happens? So Umar, he says, Ya Rasulullah, murni faqta'u rasa. Let me just give me the command, I'll finish him. I'll chop his head. But the Prophet said to him, he says, Ya Umar, should have actually asked me to pay him nicely and on time, and asked him to ask gently. That's it. Which means if you look at it from above, if you just take yourself out of that emotional, you know, kind of anger that had happened because of this, now as you listen to the story, you feel so angry. How dare this man do that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took himself above these, you know, human interaction. He took him above that. And when he looked at it, he says, you know, that's right. I should have paid you earlier. But you still needed, you know, to ask me in a gentle way. So Umar, when he was told that, the Prophet ﷺ said, go and pay him that much and add him 20 more, 20, like saying 20 pounds more, because you've scared him. SubhanAllah, paying him extra money because you scared him. So he deserves to be rewarded, you know, just for him being patient with you. And when he gave this to the man, he says, no, I got my money, you know, I got enough. He says, no, the Prophet ﷺ says, you deserve more because I scared you because of what I said. And for that reason, this man said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ was never sent as qadi, judge, to go and judge, you know, between people in that fashion. No, he wasn't there to judge them, but he was there to help them, to guide them, to bring them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal will judge between them on judgment day. Even with his servants, Anas radiallahu ta'ala, a young boy who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 years. He said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never, ma kaharani wa la naharani. He never yelled at me, he never scolded me.
وما قال لي لشيء فعلته لما فعلته ولا لشيء تركته لما تركته. He never even told me for something I've done, why did you do that for? For something I haven't done, why didn't you do that? One time the Prophet ﷺ, he sent him for something. He said, go and fetch something for me. So Anas, being a boy, young boy, he went out, and as he was, you know, going after the need of the Prophet ﷺ, he passed by some of these alleys, he finds a group of kids. When you see kids, and kid is passing by a group of kids who are playing, what do you expect these kids to do? The kid definitely is going to be walking and then start looking at them, and suddenly he stops, he's watching, he's interested, he's engaging right now. Then he sits down and he finds himself playing with them. Rasulullah ﷺ, after a while, he says, Anas, he says, after a while, I feel someone grabbing me from behind. He grabbed him from his neck. Then he said, I looked, it was Rasulullah ﷺ smiling in my face. He goes, what did I send you? Means, remember what I sent you for? He goes, I get it right now, Ya Rasulullah. That was it. No yelling, no screaming, no you're fired, nothing. It's just that, I send you for something. Did you do that? He says, no, Ya Rasulullah, I'm just going right now. And he went and he did that to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even with that man, I mean, if something, maybe these examples, you could tolerate that at some point, but let's assume non-Muslim or Muslim comes inside your masjid and they check this corner over here and they start urinating in that corner. What would you do to this individual? Ya Jama'a, what do you do to this individual? You probably crucify him outside the masjid, maybe. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Bedouin came into the masjid, and they were not used to the fancy bathrooms and these things that we have today, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So he came into this place, and he looks around. This corner has some people sitting there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That corner was empty. So he goes to the corner, hiding himself, and he starts urinating. The Sahaba, when they saw that, they jumped over him. The Prophet ﷺ said, let us remove. Don't hurt him, just leave him. Leave him for now. Which means, let's, you know, keep the janajasa contained for now. So just keep it there. So eventually, when the man finished, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, call him in, just bring him in to me. And he asked him to go and put some water on this janajasa so they purify the corner and the area. And then he taught this man, he says, these places are not for these kind of things, you know. These are for lis salati. وَلِقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So these places are for Quran, for Salah, for remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man, he was so overwhelmed with this kindness and mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So seeing, of course, the difference between Rasulullah's instruction and the attack, the almost vicious attack of the Sahaba over this guy. قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْنِي وَمُحَمَّدَ وَلَا تَرْحَمْ مَعْنَا أَحَدًا. Oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad and nobody else. Which means these people don't deserve that mercy. Just me and Muhammad, me and this man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's smiling. He said, قَالَ حَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا. Which means you're making something huge, so tight, subhanAllah. Which means this is actually so broad. Don't tighten this. The mercy of Allah is so broad. So now, even in a condition like these, you need to show kindness and mercy. I know in our masajid we have regulations, we have specific rules and so forth. Some people, they're really ignorant. They have no idea that it's not permissible for them to come into this place with shoes on. Kids, they don't even know that you shouldn't be doing that or this and that. And we start blaming their parents for it and so on. I agree, we have to have specific discipline and people, they need to teach their kids how to behave in the masajid. But at the same time, if you're going to be taking things in your hand, please do it gently, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر الناس تواضعا. He was so humble, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So humble. He could own the entire world, الدنيا, but he preferred, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to live a very humble lifestyle. You know, sometimes people, they're forced to live a humble life. Why? Because they cannot do any better. Which means, if your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qaddar Allah azza wa jal that your rizq would be a little bit tight, you might not have enough to live a luxurious life. So this is kind of forced life of humbleness. And if you accept that, you definitely show a great deal of good character. But those whom Allah blessed them with wealth and riches in this dunya, and they choose to humble themselves in lifestyle, not being stingy though, it's not a matter of being stingy, it's a matter of being so humble. means their akhlaq, no arrogance when dealing with people and others and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that man. He was always so humble, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And when people used to come before him, some of them would come shivering. قَالَ هَوَّنْ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَجُلْ. Like a man came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they brought him before the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he thought he was coming before a king or something. So he was basically trembling and shivering. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هَوَّنْ عَلَيْكَ. هَوَّنْ عَلَيْكَ. Take it easy. فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا إِبْنُ مْرَأَةٍ كَانَتْ تَأْكُلْ قَيْدَ بِمَكَّةٍ. I'm a man, the son of a woman who used to eat al-qarid bi-Makkah. Qarid bi-Makkah, which means that the kind of insignificant food that people, they say, just regular food, just like anybody else. So you just take it easy. And the Prophet ﷺ, he always said that إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْد. That I am slave of Allah. I am a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So call me Abdullah wa Rasuluh. And call me the slave of Allah and his messenger. And even when the Bedouins and the Arabs used to come to Medina, and you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them out of arrogance, they would say, why is he acting like a slave? Why is he doing that? Why is he sitting with the people, with the poor like everybody else? Why he just, you know, sits down and eats like everybody else? As if they're expecting him to be someone who eats like an arrogant person should be. But that was the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day he was sleeping on his side, and al-hasir, which means the straw mat, left marks on his side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sand was attached to his body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar bin Khattab, he saw that, and he cried. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what are you crying for, Ibn Khattab? Qala ya Rasulullah, look at the Persians and the Romans, how their kings are living in such a luxurious life. And you are the messenger of Allah. Look at you, even the hasir is actually affecting you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Thakilatka ummuka ibn al-Khattab. Means your mom, may your mother lose you. It's a dua in the Arabic language, an expression of kindness though. He says, what are you talking about? Means ulaika qawmun ujjalat lahum tayyibatum fil hayat ad-dunya. These are people whom tayyibatuhum, means that the rewards was given to them in this dunya. Which means our reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit down, he used to sit down like anybody else, even in the masjid. One time a man came in, and then he was looking around to see where was Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could not tell, because he was just like anybody else. So when he was asked, who was Muhammad? They said, you know, see that white guy, white man over there? You know, the one who was lying down? He says, that's your man. The one who was lying down. Rajul Muttaki, he was leaning on his side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In public, sitting like anybody else would sit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to his ibadah and his akhlaq with his creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the example in his ibadah. Moderation. But moderation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some today is just like idealism that you can never reach. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would maintain fasting even after Ramadan. For us, for some, fasting happens only in the month of Ramadan, which means there is no more fasting after Ramadan is over. That's it. But for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mondays and Thursdays, perhaps even sometimes months will pass, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will almost fast the entire month, almost the entire month, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray Qiyamul Layl every single night. It's not for us to do that though, but for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would do Qiyamul Layl every single night, حتى تتفطر قدماه, until his feet starts falling, which means cracks from long standing. When the Imam recites in Salat al-Taraweeh here, if the Imam recites one page per rak'ah, people start, you know, agonizing and crying and say, ah, Shaykh Tawalt, you make it too long, salah over here. Could you please make it a little bit shorter? And here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting juz after juz, just after juz. Even Aisha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do that? Why do you keep doing that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all your sins? Qala ya Aisha, afala akunu abdan shakura. Shouldn't I then become abdan shakura, thankful and grateful servant? So his dedication and devotion, it's not that he's doing an obligation. His devotion, dedication, it's being thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us people, they come and they ask, what's the ruling on Qiyamul Layl, night prayer? So, ya akhi, it's sunnah. You know, it's highly recommended that you do that. So they say, so it's not fard. Which means if it's not fard, I don't have to do it, right? So no, it's not fard, ya akhi. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We became so lazy to that extent that if it's not fard, that means don't do it. That's how I understand it. Not fard, don't do it. If it's fard, that's the thing you need to care about. And here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not being obligated actually, he would do that salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi, being grateful to Allah azza wa jal. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray, he would cry. And he would, when he'd cry, he would cry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his heart. Salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. She, in the hadith that Rasulullah Aisha, she said, Kana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Shikhir actually, she said that you could hear the voice or the sound of groaning and moaning in the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like a boiling pot. Boiling in his chest, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi. When some young men, to show that's a kind of moderation, when young men, they came to Rasulullah, the houses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking about the level of his ibadah. And they, when they were told, they كأنهم تقالوا, they said, you know, subhanAllah, this is too little for me. Maybe because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was forgiven his sins, so he doesn't need to do that. So, but for me, I will devote my days for fasting. Other, he said, I'm going to devote my nights for prayers. And the other said, I'm going to completely abstain from the pleasure of this life, so I will practice celibacy. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about that, he says, أَمَا إِنِّي وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لَهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لَهِ. I'm the most fearful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to ibadah, I fast and I break my fast. I pray and I get some sleep. وَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءَ, I marry like anybody else. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَن سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So the best example of the ibadah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who goes away from my path, from my sunnah, is not from my true followers. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Now even with his joking and his humor, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. I mean, usually a man, we think that being a perfect man should always be serious. And that's why some people, they just always serious. They don't smile. They just cannot even smile. If they try to exercise their actual facial muscles, it wouldn't actually help them smile. Because they've never done that, so their brain lost actually, you know, that kind of signals. They don't actually go up, it always goes down. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would laugh and he would joke. But when he laughs, he doesn't actually go loud in his laugh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't laugh loud. His laughing is just big smiles. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يضحك إلا تبسما. When he laughs by smiling. حتى تبدو نواجده, until his back teeth actually can show. Which means this would be the biggest smile, biggest laugh of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم like this, he is really, really actually enjoying it. He's laughing at it. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. And he would do that. And he himself, even sometimes, he would provoke the joke, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not he's waiting for someone to make something funny in front of him to laugh about it. He would actually start that. Like the woman who came to him and she said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was an old woman. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, hal adkhulu al-jannah? Am I going to go to al-jannah? She was an old woman. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, old women don't get into al-jannah. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, I told you, no, old women don't get into al-jannah. There are no old women in al-jannah. So the woman, she got very frustrated. She started crying, almost crying. And then Rasulullah said, listen, hold on a second. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that inna ansha'nahu insha'a faj'alnahunna abkara. Means when they go to al-jannah, they will be all young and maiden. It means you're not going to go into al-jannah in this form of old age. So that's when she realized, she said, ah. And it was actually a moment of amusement for them. Another woman, she came to Rasulullah asking her, you know, basically she was interceding for her husband. Ya Rasulullah, could you take my husband with you for this expedition? We don't know if she was actually trying to get rid of him, or maybe she's trying to, you know, to intercede for him, because sometimes men don't like to initiate something to go to his wife. Why don't you go and ask him? I'll see what he tells you. But eventually she went to Rasulullah and she said, Ya Rasulullah, would you take my husband with you? And then the Prophet, he said, is that the man who has that white thing in his eye? She goes, Wallahi ma ba'aynayhi min ba's. There's nothing wrong with his eyes. He says, no, he's the man, I know him. He's the one who has actually that white thing in his eye. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi ma bi'aynayhi min ba's. His eyes are okay, there's nothing wrong with his eyes. And the Prophet insists, no, I know him. He's the one who has that white thing in his eye, right? But then he told her, listen, don't you see that everybody has that white thing in his eye? We all have that whiteness in our eyes. And again, it was a source of amusement and joking with his companion, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. Even he would joke with these old women. The old women of his community, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bringing some sort of happiness and joy to their life. Salawatullahi wa salam alayhi. There is so much we can say about akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why we're dedicating a whole actually weekend, a whole seminar about akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which we're going to be talking about his person even. How he looked like, how he walked, how he talked, how he slept, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he stood up, salawatullahi wa sallam, everything about him, so they could visualize and try to see and imagine that in real life. And we will talk about his akhlaq and his manners and the salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last thing I would like to conclude with is the subject of akhlaq. For some, as we talk about akhlaq and nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody now in the back of your mind, maybe you're saying, wow, this was really amazing. Please keep going, don't stop. I'm enjoying this. Why? Because it's just like a time machine. Perhaps you forgot that you're living here now in New Jersey. You thought that you're already in Medina hearing these beautiful stories of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But imagine if you could bring this to your own life. How could you do that? Don't say that this is too much, I cannot really achieve that level. Yes, you can. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually, he said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Knowledge is by studying. How do you become knowledgeable? By learning and studying. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. Forbearance, patience, is by training. Which means if you always say that, you know, I'm always angry because this is generic. My father was like this, my grandpa was this, all the family is so grumpy. So eventually I'm just like one of them. No, you're wrong. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you can be patient and you can train yourself to be patient if you do practice. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. Some people, yes, they are born with, alhamdulillah, generic akhlaq. Like this man, Ashaj Abdul Qais, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a long journey, he sent his tribe forward and he went and he took a shower and then he came refreshed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to meet him when he's refreshed. So when the Prophet saw that, he liked it. He goes, إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. You have two qualities so beloved to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Al-Hilmu wal-Ana means forbearance and being so actually taking your time in things when you do things. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ خِصْلَتَانِ جَبَلَانِ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا أَمْ خُلُقًا تَخَلَّقْتُ بِهِ. Are these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me like this? Or did I learn to be like that? He says, no, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Which means they are now in you by design from Allah azza wa jal. So he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi jabalani ala ma yuhibbu Allah wa rasuluh. I'm being grateful to Allah that He created me in a way that is pleasing Him and pleasing to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the akhlaq, manners, come in two kinds. Some inherited and some acquired. So if you're not given the good akhlaq by inheritance, don't lose hope. You can train yourself to be so. And if you came equipped with that by design, that doesn't mean that it's a guarantee that you're going to continue like this, because you could untrain yourself and start acting differently. So you make sure that inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala, make commitment that you act upon the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn one khuluq at a time and start practicing this. For a whole week, teach yourself one khuluq at a time. Generosity for an entire week. Kindness for an entire week. Love and tenderness for an entire week. And go one after the other for inshallah ta'ala until you acquire the whole set of akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do so, I hope bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala that you'll be rewarded what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised you. أَقْرَبُكُم مِّنِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَجْلِسًا. Those who are going to be closest to me in judgment day, do you know who they are? أَحْسَنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. The most behaved, the well behaved. Those who are in best character. So if you would like to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you don't have much wealth to give in charity and donations and fundraisings and so on, if you don't have that physical power to do things and help others and so on, at least have the good akhlaq, good manners, brings you so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask Allah azza wa jal to make us among those whom he loves. And I ask Allah subhanahu to help us acquire the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask Allah azza wa jal to make us among those who will be closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this dunya bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala through their akhlaq, and in the akhirah being close to him in majlis and in station. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Takbir. Takbir. Jazallahu Shaykhuna Shaykh Yasir Birjas. With his permission, if we can take a few minutes just to take some QAs, if you don't mind. So we'll have a few minutes. You can raise your hands. Any questions related to this topic, character of the Prophet? And also the sisters, if they have questions, you can write them and pass them forward. We'll try to answer them as quickly as possible. We also have a mic we can pass back to the sisters if they have questions.
Any questions, Jama'ah? Bismillah, any questions? MashaAllah, everybody wants to go home before the storm, right? Yes?
I was speaking to someone and they were saying, I told them to try to emulate Rasulullah, and the answer was that, well, I can't be like the Prophet because he was a Prophet. And
yeah.
And I'm not the Prophet, you know?
No.
So how do you explain to someone that they can't?
A question. Someone was basically, when you invite somebody to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and emulate his example, some people might tell you, but you know, I can't do that because he is the messenger of Allah and I cannot be like the messenger of Allah. This is the question. So that's their excuse not to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, because you know, he's the messenger, we cannot do that. Well, the answer is in the Quran actually. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرْ. Say to them, I am a human being. But then they're going to tell you, but yeah, but he's not like me, you know? And that's what Allah says after that immediately. Mithlukum, just like you. Which means stop whining and stop nagging about this issue. He was a bashar, a human being, just like you. Yuha ilay, who receives revelation. So when it comes to the subject of humanity, he was a human being, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when these people, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying they're going to do things more than what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually would do, he said, no, don't do that. Just follow my example. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Those who don't follow my example are not from my true followers. So this is a claim that is false in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, to them, that if you truly love Allah, what was the response? فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Follow me. So we follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever he presents to you, take it. Whatever he commands you to abstain from, so abstain from it. So we have the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented to us. So it's not an excuse that you say he was a different human being at a different level. In terms of him being a great messenger of Allah, yes, he has specific what we call them khasa'is. Khasas means that exclusive qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to explain that in details, inshallah, in the class. Bidnillahi azza wa jal. Naam. Any question? Yes. Alaykum salam. If sometimes the question is, if someone actually was, you know, in a team, teamwork. It's a teamwork. For example, let me give a real example from the masajid culture. In a masajid culture, we ask for volunteerism. People, they come volunteer. You have 10 volunteers. You end up one doing the work. The rest of them are just talking on the phone, you know, doing other things, side works and so on. He is the one who's doing that. And he's being patient so much. First time, second time, third time. And he's doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People taking advantage of this. What shall I do about that subject? Well, it's up to you. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we deal with people, we don't deal with their akhlaq.
we deal with the akhlaq that we know it's the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if they try to take advantage of this, and you're doing the right thing, it doesn't matter. But if you're truly doing things that are not necessary from the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this case, I would say, then you should go a little bit actually higher with your attitude with them, in a sense that you make them understand firmness. Sometimes firmness is actually should be put in place, and that's also akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, he was making tawaf, still in Mecca right now, under oppression and under suppression of the people of Mecca. He was making tawaf one day, and the leaders of Mecca were sitting in al-Hijr. So when he was making tawaf, they were mocking him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First time he came around, they start talking about him out loud, letting just for him to hear what they're saying about him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept quiet. So he went back again. He made another circle. Then when he arrived there, they start only talking about him again. Then for the third time, when they said it again, he stopped. And he came approaching them, and he spoke to them directly with a very, very firm language, that even they got scared. They said, "Hawun alayka Abul Qasim, take it easy, Abul Qasim, take it easy. You know what, these are foolish guys talking about you. Just please, don't take that seriously." And then he went back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes, yeah, firmness is actually part of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you need to use it wisely. Which means when there's a place, what you need to do, firm talk, firm attitude with people, you should play that role and display that. But when it's not the place for it, just be so kind, be tolerant, be forgiving. Wallahu alam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Inna Allah yati ala rifq ma la yati ala al-unf." Allah azza wa jalla always gives you good results when you are kind and nice, rather than being rough and rude. Now, yes. Alaykum salam. Can you repeat the question? Because actually some of these fans are... Huh? Any books? Oh, are there any books compiling the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, there are actually. Inshallah, we're going to be sharing the information on the class. One of these books is Imam al-Tirmidhi's famous book, called Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, The Noble Characteristics of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's available online. You can buy it, inshallah ta'ala. And it's written in both Arabic and English. I don't know if they have any other languages for it, but I'm sure it's there in Arabic and in English language, called Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, The Noble Characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala. I don't know if the sister had any question. Did you guys give them the microphone?
Yes.
Okay. If they have a question, just turn the microphone on and ask your question. Yes.
When you read Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's seerah, we see that, we get a sense of his schedule being very hectic. He's going on expeditions, he's teaching the Sahabas, he's going in battles, and yet he's spending time with his wives.
Nah.
It's very difficult to visualize in terms of time management, how he used to manage his time. Nowadays, in the society that we live in,
mm-hmm.
Common complaints from the spouses are we're not spending time with each other. Can you explain a little bit in terms of seerah how he used to?
When the question is, when you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you see him being in all over the place, then you still see that he has time to sit with his family, with his grandchildren, with his wives. SubhanAllah, how could this happen? In terms of time management, what exactly had happened? You see, technology is barakah. There is no doubt about it. There is barakah. But with this barakah came so much evil. In the past, they didn't have cars. And if you don't have car, how far could you go if you want to go anywhere? Not that far, right? If you even want to go to the other side of town, you have to plan it ahead of time. And people, when they used to leave home to go and work in the fields, they only come at the end of the day. So they have one focused duty or subject or whatever actually they're doing at the same time. That's one thing. Second, us having all this technology around us, it's easier for us to waste time than actually saving time. How is that? You're sitting at home, working on a very serious subject, whether you're writing an article or doing something or maybe make a research, whatever, and then you feel hungry. There is nothing in the house. So what do? You go and you buy it from outside, right? You drive your car, you go for half an hour just to go and grab a bite that's going to take you 10 minutes to finish. Half an hour going, half an hour going back. On the way, you talk over the phone, you get distracted. So when you come back, once you get back to the mood, so you waste 2 hours just to get 10 minutes bite. Sometimes this technology actually has so distractions that we lose the sense of time.
And I believe this is a common actually problem. People at the end of the day, they always think, wow, it's already Maghrib time? I didn't do anything, subhanAllah. You go and you check your paper, your research, you just only wrote maybe a couple of lines, that's it. You didn't achieve that much during the day. That's a very common problem because we don't do the time management. With Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of course the Sahaba back then, their work was very focused. And their time was very actually and very well maintained. Besides, for them, the day ends with Maghrib Salah, almost. When it's when sundown, we don't have this now, this basically, this the lights and electricity that makes us start our day after Salat al-Maghrib. So I would say, do your time management by try to observe what really kills your time during the day. If you shake your schedule very well, you will see that you're doing so many things we're not supposed to be doing them at all. Wallahu alam. Well, how to deal, a question from the sister side. How to deal with a family member who is nice to others but misbehaves to family? It's your wife? Allah musta'an. I mean, I hope that this lecture is enough incentive really for people to understand that if Aisha was asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was seen in, always in public, he was always seen in public, and she was still asked about his akhlaq sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means people they're interested in knowing how he behaves at home. And she answered by saying, check the Quran, you'll see his akhlaq sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. So I hope that this is an incentive for all of you guys that you inshallah ta'ala come together to follow the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and know his kindness and his akhlaq. Bidnillahi azza wa jal. And if that family member is not actually registered for the class that's coming this weekend, inshallah, you make sure he comes and attend, inshallah ta'ala. At least bring him tomorrow evening. I guarantee you, bidnillah, you would love this class. I mean, can you imagine staying one whole weekend living with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if you see him? We're going to be describing him completely, physically, akhlaq, manners, everything. So you see, as if you really live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have a child and you are trying your best to teach the child good akhlaq, but they resist continuously, what should parents do? This is actually a complex question. It's not that simple. Because the subject of learning akhlaq is not just about you giving instructions. It's more than that. And usually kids learn through copying, learning through seeing others. And if you're not their role model, means if they don't love you to the extent that they would love to do everything you do, then there is a problem that you need in the relationship with your kids. It's not, solving the problem is not going to be by telling them, ittaqillah, you know, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going to happen that way overnight. It's going to take a while. But the best way of making sure your kids are actually doing their akhlaq is that you be the best person for them. So if you want them not to lie, you be the person that will teach them to be truthful. If you want them to be kind, you do this to them and so on. So you be the best example for them, inshallah. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. The other thing, actually, I have given them part of another class on how to teach kids specific akhlaq and manners. And usually when you teach kids actually akhlaq and manners, again, as I said, example, repetition. When they see that, they follow that example, inshallah ta'ala. Also, it's a challenge, which means don't expect your kids to behave because you asked them to do so. It's going to take a while. It's a big challenge, and you're going to have to be careful with that, do your best, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you successful with that. Last thing about this issue, dua. The dua, every day and every night. How often do you make dua for your children? Ibrahim alayhi salam, and who was Ibrahim alayhi salam? He would still make dua, Rabbi ij'alni muqim as-salati wa min dhurriyyati rabbana taqabbal dua. My Lord, ij'alni muqim as-salah, make me and of my offspring those who perform as-salah. That was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So if Ibrahim did the dua on a regular basis, why shouldn't we do that? So I would say, make dua for your children in qiyamul layl, when you break your fast, when you fast, in your salah, when you make your sujood. Every time there's a good chance for dua, do the dua for your children, inshallah. You mentioned that when that Jew talked arrogantly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was patient and only asked the man to be gentle. In today's day and age, what is one to do if a person talks arrogantly, talking wrongfully about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We'll cover that in the class, inshallah ta'ala. We have a section on this issue, defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against these vicious attacks. So we will learn some of the techniques, inshallah, and some of the akhlaq and the adab on how to handle this issue when you hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being abused by some ignorance or arrogant people. So we'll discuss that later, inshallah, azza wa jal, during the weekends. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Jazakumullah khairun. May Allah reward the Shaykh for his patience and time with us. And may Allah reward everyone here for their patience and listening. May Allah give us the tawfiq to benefit from what we hear today and always.